Well, hello everybody and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss with us, we have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. This month, it's already the end of the month.
It is.
This month, we've been looking at the benefits to us, the ramifications to God's children for the resurrection. I mean, we love the resurrection. We never talk enough about it.
Yeah.
But what we talk about even less usually is why it's such a beautiful thing.
Right.
Here's a single verse. Let this sink in. Romans 6:14. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Think about that for a little bit. All my life, until I figured out what this meant, I was absolutely convinced that sin had dominion over me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my job to resist sin, to learn how to behave, to be God's guy, and eventually... in my own thinking, eventually to become perfect enough that the Holy Spirit wouldn't even have to worry about me anymore.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Holy Spirit worried about me a lot.
A lot, yeah.
And then I discovered this passage. I didn't discover it. Somebody pointed it out to me. I didn't know it was in the Bible. And you have to stop and say, how is this possible? Well, Paul actually tells us just prior to this in verse 12, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for righteousness. Okay, that's what I used to do. I'm not going to present myself to sin as...
Yeah.
Well, keep reading. But present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. If you've been brought from death to life, how did that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit had to come and live inside of you. Come and live inside of me. So therefore, if I'm under grace, I am spiritually alive, God himself lives inside of me, why am I wasting any time trying to fight with sin? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Let him change you from the inside out. Then you will know what it means for sin not to have dominion over you. Sin has no call on your life. Can you wander out there in sin? Of course you can.
Sure.
But with the Spirit inside of you, God himself inside of you going, what are you thinking?
Yeah. What
are you thinking? And not in a condemning way. But he always asked me, Richard, how's that working for you?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, it's not working at all. And he brings me back. He says, then don't let it have dominion over you. You belong to me. You're not under law. You're under grace. Grace will teach you to say no to things. The law never could. Grace will teach you to live in the joy of the Lord. The law never could. This is the stuff of the gospel. This is the stuff of a victorious Christian life. And this is one of the reasons why the resurrection was so vitally important.
This is the stuff that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, everybody. It's the message of freedom and grace and the love of Jesus Christ. So we're glad you're with us to hear it today. 844-322-2742 is a toll-free call in the U.S. and Canada. And if it's about 3 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want you to be a part of it. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss with Richard and me, we'd love to hear from you right now. Again, 844-322-2742. And Richard, we've talked about it in recent weeks. Your retirement is coming up at the middle of next month, and as you contemplate retirement, what are your thoughts about Basic Gospel and its outreach to the countless others who have yet to come into the knowledge of God's love and grace and provision like you have been talking about, who don't enjoy what you and I and the rest of the staff and so many that listen to us every day have yet to come into? What would you say to encourage our Basic Gospel listeners to help this ministry get that message out?
Well, think back to the days when you were questioning. Whether you were raised in church or not, whether you were a pagan or not, at some point in your life, you started to question, hey, what in the world's going on here? We all know in our heart of hearts what right and wrong are.
Yeah.
Because we were raised from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we know what good and evil are. Our problem is we all link hands and dance around that tree and expect something to come of it. And when you realize that you're just dancing in circles and nothing's happening, and you ask the questions, that's when you begin to discover that God, in his patience, has been wooing you the whole time. He's been suggesting things. He's been bringing people into your path. He's been bringing programs like ours into your path. And that's why we invest in this, why we invest our time, our money, our prayers, our passion into this. Because you never know when a given word spoken at a particular time hits a particular heart and a life is changed.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that it's not because you and Bob and I talk. It's because the Holy Spirit plants something inside someone else. They hear what the Holy Spirit needs them to hear when they need to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We're here being servants of his. He can use us any way he sees fit. You are also servants of his. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways you serve is by making programs like this possible.
Right.
Because there aren't that many of us out there, unfortunately. And I think the value of a human life is worth it. That's why we do what we do.
That's why we do what we do. Thank you, Richard, for those thoughts. And friends, those are the reasons we ask you to give and to support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your finances. So we ask you to go online to basicgospel.net, and you'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage. It says donate, strangely enough, and that's where you need to go. So click that donate button at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, once again, 844-322-2742. That's a toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you right now if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss with us. In the meantime, let's hear from John in Vancouver.
Hello, it's John from Vancouver, Canada. I had a quick question there. The TV preacher mentioned something along the line that you can lose your salvation. Quoting from Ezekiel 18, verse 24, I'll just read, but when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live. All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin that he has committed. Because of them he shall die. I'm just wondering if you could just respond. Also, there's another one. I think it's in Ezekiel 3, verse 20-21. Thanks so much. I'd be very interested to hear your response to these questions. Bye-bye.
Yeah, good question. And those passages exist. And we're going to ignore them. No, we're not. I mean, these are real things. And one of the reasons I started with Romans 6:14, sin will not have dominion over you because you are not under law but under grace, is because of these passages. Ezekiel was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. He lived under the law. The law defined everything about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel resolutely refused to walk by grace through faith in the one true God, looking forward to the Messiah, and therefore allowing the law to be what it was intended to be, this wonderful collection of shadows and types and all of that sort of thing that pointed to the Messiah. And so they could behave and they could misbehave. And it had been very clearly stipulated, Moses went through this in Deuteronomy, if you obey, here are the things that will accrue, blessing and honor and a status in the world like none other. If you disobey, here's what you can expect. There will be terrible things that will accrue. And what Israel had done in general was to ignore God's admonition to avoid all kinds of foreign entanglements. They would get involved with the local populace, you know, other nations, get involved in their religious ceremonies. And if you're into that sort of thing, that some of that can be fun, I suppose. But, you know, they were offering their children as sacrifices. They were killing each other. God says no. And at any time, any Israelite could say, no, I'm done. I'd rather have fun with the wicked for a while. And God would say to that person, okay, you will die on your own.
Yeah.
In fact, in Jeremiah 31, just before the new covenant is stated, one of the things God said to Israel was, you have heard it was said that when the father eats sour grapes, the children's teeth are set on edge. And that was one of those things where you get to thinking about generational sin. My dad sinned, therefore I'll sin and my kids will sin. And then he changed it. He said, no, a time is coming when a person will eat sour grapes and suffer for his own sour grapes. You will die for your own sins. And that was a precursor to the new covenant. The new covenant says, I will remember their sins no more. Well, why could he say that in the new covenant? Because we've stopped sinning? No. But because Jesus fulfilled all of that old covenant. The day he died once for all to sin. Ezekiel didn't have that available to him. We do. The day he was raised from the dead, he was victorious over death. Ezekiel didn't have that available to him. We do. The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given, Ezekiel didn't have that available to him. We do.
Yeah.
Everything is different. We've got a new priest, a new king, a new way of life, and sin will never have dominion over us again. When you belong to Christ, when he has taken up residence in you, Jesus himself says, no one can snatch you out of my hands.
Right.
Read John 10, and then read it again, and read it again, and read it again. And it begins to sink in that Jesus wasn't kidding. And they knew he wasn't kidding because they tried to stone him for saying it. Jesus is so utterly, completely victorious over all of this law of sin and death that it will never again impact one of his children. We can't leave him. Think about that.
That's good
we
news.
Can't yeah. leave him. What he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I can just walk away from God. No. God walks right with you. And boy, there was a revelation when that one finally dawned on me, because I always imagined myself out in the weeds someplace, you know, falling into a mud bog and going down for the count and you know, looking furtively back at the path that I thought I was supposed to be on and say, oh, Lord, come save me. And I'd look back at the path and there was nobody there. I said, oh, man, it's too late. And then you realize somebody else is splashing around and it happens to be God. He says, how would you like you know, some help back over here? He had come with me into that mess. And he brought me back every time. In fact, the whole point of the law was so that God could save Israel if they would accept him. And that offer is still open to them right now today. If they will accept Jesus as their Messiah, boom, saved. No, death and sin will no longer have any dominion over them.
Yeah, absolutely. John, hope
one
you're
new
listening.
Man out of the two.
One new man out of the two, exactly. Toward the veil of the curtain at the in the temple, and he made the two into one.
Absolutely.
That beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. With Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. Again, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial if you'd like to be a part of the live broadcast and pose a question right now. In the meantime, we had this from Don in Austin. He says, I'm a believer and have found myself in spiritual warfare battles in different times in my life. Through the circumstance, though the circumstances are different, the thought arrows of the enemy are the same, those of doubt and lies. My mind also easily falls into the comparison trap. Unless I'm like Billy Graham or someone like that, I'm not a true Christian, and so forth. I'm often taken aback when I read devotionals and scriptures where it talks of being lukewarm. Other pastors use phrases like, lukewarm living is the most innocent way to hell, and so forth. I guess my question is, Don says, how can one change a lukewarm season of their faith without being an easy target for the spiritual warfare realm?
Stop trying and start living. Just be. We are called to be the children of God, not to do the children of God. I'm thinking while you're reading that, one of the best places for me to go is at the end of John 21, when Jesus is restoring Peter back to the disciples and asking him about love. And finally, the conversation gets a little too close to home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so to cut the tension, Peter turns around and notices that John has been following behind, taking notes on the conversation. Thank you, John. and he says, well, what about him?
Yeah.
What about, and there's the comparison.
Right.
What about him? And Jesus said, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? What is that to you? You follow me. And the way the Greek is structured there, it's really powerful. It just says, you, me, follow.
Yeah.
And it's clearly the evidence or the power of the verse is in that verb, follow. So, again, we talk about this all the time. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Don't fix your eyes on anybody else. And for crying out loud, don't fix your eyes on yourself. Because Satan will use every time you do that for these thought games.
Sure.
He comes to you in your voice, or he'll come to you in the voice of a trusted associate that you think you remember them saying something, your favorite pastor. He'll try to come to you with the voice of God himself and get you to thinking that, oh, man, what have I done? And as soon as you take your eyes off of Jesus, you are fair game for his 2x4. Mm-hmm. And he loves to swing that thing. And the only way out of this is not to fight the 2x4, but to fix your eyes on Jesus. And Satan cannot touch you mm-hmm. when your eyes are fixed on Jesus yeah. because you are his and he is your strength. People ask, how do I live the Christian life? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, not how, but who.
Yeah, you don't.
You don't. It's not, Jesus is the how yes. because Jesus is the who.
Right.
Sounds a little bit like Dr. Seuss. Sorry. But that's how you get out of these battles. You break out of them because the Spirit breaks you out of them. It's not, you're not victorious by careful thinking and close study and navel gazing and all of that kind of stuff. No, you just say, God, this is wrong. I'm listening to a lie. I need the truth. Thank you for giving me the truth. Mm-hmm. Put your eyes on Jesus and let that truth turn you and move you forward.
Indeed. Don, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. And if you have further questions, don't hesitate to do that again. Well, today's Basic Gospel, everybody. You know, early in the program, Richard spoke about the importance of Basic Gospel as we proclaim Jesus Christ and the fullness of his life and those who believe. This message of God's grace is not heard in clarity everywhere, as we are also saying, and we hope to be able to get this message out far and wide. People just need to hear it. So we ask you to please make your gift today and become a partner with us here at Basic Gospel. We need your help to make it happen. Please click donate at basicgospel.net. We want others to have a part in the blessing of taking this message to those who need to hear, like Bob and Richard and me and the staff and so many of you who listen every day. Others need to hear, friends. So we ask you again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, you know, Richard, the Basic Gospel app is a great way to stay in contact with the ministry. And friends, if you have not downloaded it, we encourage you to do that. It's a full-featured app. And as a matter of fact, Lisa used the app to send this question to us. She says, once I heard the Calvinist doctrine of God choosing some and not others, it was disturbing to my soul. My disposition too easily obsesses about being right with God. It seems like every time I read the Bible now, it's clouded with things that sound like I'm being excluded. I don't believe this doctrine rightly describes the word of truth or the character of God, but how do I get to the point where I can read the Bible without interpreting it through this horrible lens?
It's a broken record. Fix your eyes on Jesus. What did he do? Not what do you do,
yes.
Not what do you understand, not even what are your questions, although take your questions to him while you're staring at him. One of the places where this comes from is in 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Wonderful. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. And you look at that and you go, God was reconciling the whole world unto himself? Well, isn't that universal salvation? Well, no, it's not.
No.
Because reconciliation isn't salvation. Remember, this whole new covenant situation that Jesus entered in or brought in for us is based on two things. One, he died once for all sin. Mm-hmm. That's the reconciliation. Two, he was raised from the dead, completely victorious over sin. And those two things are absolutely necessary for salvation. So being reconciled is necessary but not sufficient for right. salvation. To be saved, you have to come alive in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That was demonstrated to us at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given. Each of us has our own Pentecost the day we right. accept Jesus. So when people started looking at this and saying, well, he reconciled the whole world to himself, that must be salvation, and clearly the whole world isn't saved,
right.
so that must mean that God chose some and not others. So he reconciled the elect to himself. Mm-hmm. No, he reconciled the whole world. Based on that reconciliation, he is offering to the whole world life. Does the whole world accept life? No, it doesn't. But there are those who do. And when they do, they become his eternally. So don't let a passage like this be explained away in order to prove somebody's point. Let it say what it says and then say, and then ask, there's a question. Well, if the whole world is reconciled, does that mean they're saved, Lord? And because that's what I did. I asked. And over time, he showed me. And he'll show you as well. Over and over and over again, all of these little tough passages that people twist and turn to their own uses. And it's not just a Calvinistic point of view. There are many people who do this. I mean, I won't go into it.
Okay.
It's just common.
Yeah.
It's common. We try to put our own belief structures on top of Jesus instead of letting him put his belief structure on top of us.
Yeah.
Let him do the work. And you will see that the questions are answered.
Indeed. Lisa, I hope that's a help to you. Richard, we have just a little bit over 2.5 minutes left, but I want to get this question in, and I usually ask for a certain amount of time at the end so I could do a wrap-up. Take as much time on this one as you need, up to 00.
Okay.
Okay. This is from Deborah. She says, in May of 1980, during a very emotional church service, I went forward to the altar call and said, I believed in Jesus as my Savior. However, nothing really changed in my life for decades. I remained angry, bitter, and continued in some sins, knowing full well what I was doing, but not really caring. About 4 years ago, I began to experience real conviction about sin, the desire to study the Bible, and wanted to live my life in obedience to what the Word teaches. I can't put an exact date on that conversion, but I truly believe that is when I became a child of God, not in 1980. I think for those decades, I was really a false convert. What is your opinion on this?
It doesn't matter. You belong to him now. I got saved when I was 18 years old. I had no idea that I'd gotten saved when I was 18 years old. But as time progressed and I was struggling with this legalism that I had put on myself, I needed to know somehow that I hadn't gone around the bend, because I thought I could lose my salvation. Yeah. Oh, even if I was saved then, what about it now? And then I'd get all angry, bitter, good
right.
words.
Yeah.
And the Lord finally showed me through the Word of God and through friends and acquaintances and all of that, that in fact, he had been holding me the entire time and taking me on this interesting journey.
Yeah.
He couldn't have told me when I was 18 what he told me when I was 30.
Right.
He couldn't have, because I wouldn't have been listening. Yeah. It might be the same for you. Mm-hmm. Or it might have been that you were completely lost right up until 4 years ago. Praise God that he brought you to himself.
Indeed.
Don't worry about the past. Put a stake in the ground today, if you have to, and say, from this moment on, whatever it was before, from this moment on, I'm his and he's mine. We're good.
Deborah, thanks again to you for reaching out. We love addressing these questions, and that's why we're on the air here at Basic Gospel, because we have good news to share with you. And if you would like to be a partner with us, we would like that to happen. You can go online to make a donation at basicgospel.net, and we hope you will take advantage of that opportunity. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.